this morning. We'll start in Jonah, believe it or not. Yes, I know it's not Wednesday, but we're going to start in Jonah, so you can find that over in your Old Testament there. And then we're going to look at a couple of passages in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to read three passages just to get us started. Woo, we could be here a while. All right. Amen. Jonah chapter 1. I wonder if that's right on that. And just the first three verses. This is the part of Jonah's life that I want to focus on for the message this morning. Just these first three verses and just what happens at this point. We know in our study of Jonah that things have changed and God has worked on his heart, but I want us to look at Jonah in just these first three verses for our message this morning. And we're comparing him to the Lord Jesus from these three verses. It says in Jonah chapter 1 verse 1, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship that was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So that's the picture I want you to see of Jonah there. He hears from God and literally runs the other direction. Rebels, disobeys, doesn't want to do what God said to do, goes the other way. We're going to talk about why in just a little while. Look over at the Gospel of Luke with me. And a couple of different openings here. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. I promise I'll make sense of all of this in a little while. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus is speaking. He says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Go down to verse 32. "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount." Verse 35, "But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." The quick point out of this passage, Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you, to those who hate you. Do good. And then Jesus not only teaches it, but Jesus lives it. If you look in Luke chapter 23, just real quickly, Luke 23, and we read this about the life of Jesus, about the end of his life. Luke chapter 23 and verse 26, and then verse 32 to 34. Verse 26, "When they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, coming in from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus." Verse 32, "Two others also, who were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, or Golgotha, Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left." And again, the point of this passage is 34, first part of it. "But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.'" Let's pray together. Lord, you know the word that you've put into my heart for today. You know the message that I believe you want me to share with this congregation this morning. And God, I'm going to need your help with this. I pray, Father, that you would help me to stay true to the word first and foremost. I pray that you would help me to stay organized in my thoughts. Help me to stay on track and not get too distracted. Help me to speak with boldness. Help me to speak with clarity. Help me to speak in truth. And help me to speak with love. And I thank you that your Holy Spirit is able to do this and so much more. And for that all, I give you praise in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Woo! So here we are. It's July the 3rd. Tomorrow is the 246th birthday of the United States of America, our Independence Day. You know, in recent years, it's become more and more interesting to me the parallels between the natural and the spiritual, and how we celebrate things in the natural that God tells us we shouldn't even be a part of in the spiritual. Let me try to make some sense of what I've already said. We call July the 4th Independence Day. And we celebrate our independence from, I'm sorry, rule from England. We celebrate our independence, and we are a free people, and in the natural we certainly thank God for that. But I tend to think about things from a spiritual perspective. I try to do it most of the time and all the time in the life. And when I think about this idea of independence and how much we value it as Americans, I can't help but think about the fact that God actually tells us to lay down our independence where spiritual things are concerned. We're not supposed to be independent as spiritual people. We're supposed to be dependent on the Lord. No, we're thankfully we don't, you know, we're not servants of Holly, God bless you. We're not servants of a king in England, but we are supposed to be servants of the King of Heaven, okay? We're supposed to be servants, and we should see ourselves that way as children of God. 246 years. It's pretty amazing. And I'm grateful that I am born and raised in this nation. I'm grateful for the freedoms that we have. I'm grateful for the liberties that we have. I don't know how closely any of you might follow sports, or in particular women's sports. There's a young lady today, a professional basketball player, women's NBA. And this morning she woke up in prison in Russia. She's been there for several months. She was caught with some drugs or some paraphernalia or something over there, and they took issue with it. They arrested her. And she's been in jail over there for several months now. And the hearing is just really starting for her. She is one who has had some not so kind things to say about the United States of America. And God bless her. Thank God we have the right to say those kind of things in America if we want to. But I guarantee you, she wishes she had woken up in the United States of America this morning. And we should all be grateful for what we are given. We should be thankful for what the Lord has done. I mean, let's face it. I'll ask for a show of hands this morning. How many of you asked God for you to be born in America? It's sovereign grace, brother and sister. None of us asked to be born here. God could have just as easily put the soul that he put in your body. He could have put that soul in a body that was born in Russia, or that was born in North Korea, or some third world country, some impoverished nation where they have little to nothing. Instead, God had most of us to be born here in this nation. And we should be thankful for it. I know that I am. But that's not my message this morning. I'm going to share some things with you this morning, and I don't share these very often, but I want to share with you some perspectives where politics is concerned. And we don't talk about politics a lot here, but I want to share some things with you because I want you to understand why we don't talk a lot about politics here in this church. Now, I'm just going to say, and most of you probably have a pretty good idea of how I vote. It's none of your business, but you probably know. I have a pretty good idea anyway. And to be honest with you, if you want to sit down and talk politics, I'll talk politics with you personally and privately. I won't do it here in the church, and I won't do it behind the pulpit. I just don't believe it's the arena for it, and we're going to explain why in a little while. But I'll sit down and talk with you. If you don't know my opinion, listen, I got opinions. I got opinions on everything, and I guarantee I'll make just about everybody in here mad with my opinions. So if you want to talk, we'll talk. And I just want to put that out there before I share the things that I want to share with you today, because I want you to understand that for me, standing here in this place calls for me to speak about one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here as much as I love America. I'm not here on Sunday mornings to save America. I'm here, hopefully, to help souls know Christ. And that's why we do what we do here on Sunday mornings. And so I want to encourage you this morning and just kind of remind you and prepare you and encourage you this morning to remember who you are. We are about to embark on another political season. As we roll past July the 4th and we get into the hot days of July and August, and there's another election coming up in November, and sure as the world, between now and then, somebody's going to say, it's the most important election we've ever had in America, because we do that every 2 years. It's always the most important election we've ever had. And, candidates on both sides will be pushing their fear perspective to try to get you out and to get you to vote and all of these kinds of things. And so, you know, I just want to, and I want to encourage you, listen, you and I need to pray. We need to seek God, and we need to participate in the political process as the Spirit of the Lord leads us in any way that He leads us. But we need to be sure that we're doing it by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay. And that's really the crux of my message to you this morning. I just want to remind you today of who you are, of whose you are, and who you represent. And I want to remind you that in all things, in all times, everything that you and I do, when we call ourselves believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that we do and say from that point on, if we've made it public, we're followers of Jesus, everything we do from that point on is then going to reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we do and say, people are going to look at us, and if we call ourselves Christians, everything we do and say from that point on, people are going to look at us and say, whatever it is we're doing, they're going to say, that's a Christian. And some of them will say, that's a Christian. And some of them will say, that's a Christian? I want us to realize who it is we represent. Have your political opinions. I got mine. It's fine. But I just think we need to be real careful in the political arena that we don't forget whose we are and who we represent. Because when people know who we claim to follow, then all eyes are on us to see what a follower really looks like. And it's important we're setting the right example, and it's important we're doing the right thing. Matthew tells us, I've got several scriptures, I don't have time to read all of these. We've read many times from Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And what Jesus is telling us, we've said it so many times before, what Jesus is teaching in that passage of scripture is that you and I, as his followers, are supposed to be, here's the word, influential. That's the common denominator between salt and light. Both influence. And we're supposed to be salt and light. And we're supposed to be influential in this world. Always influencing people in a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus would go on in that same passage of scripture and he would say, let your light shine so that men can see your good works and glorify the God of heaven. And if I can just take a moment to just open that up just a little bit this morning. Jesus is telling us there that when you and I are being influential, when we are being salt and when we are being light, the good works that we are doing are not just merely good works for the sake of good works. They are good works done with the purpose and intent of pointing people to Jesus. Okay? I'm a great believer in this, that there's a great difference between good works and God's work. And I think there are a lot of people that do a lot of good works, and there are a lot of good people doing a lot of good works that don't know Jesus from a hole in the ground. And they're not doing what they do to influence anybody to the Lord. But you and I who know the Lord, everything that we should be about should be ultimately about in some way, shape, or form influencing people to know Jesus Christ. Because guys, that's why we're here. Can we please come to that understanding this morning? That if we call ourselves believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we truly do believe, then we understand that this world is an evil world and it is run by the devil, and people that don't know Jesus are going to hell, and we have the responsibility in the few years that we are on this planet to influence as many people as we possibly can to know Jesus so they can go to heaven. That's what our lives are supposed to be all about. Everything else is just a detail that helps us point in that direction. Everything else, our jobs, our hobbies, our educations, our careers, our marriages, our families, our homes, everything else about our lives should be just a piece that works with all of the other pieces to show through us the supremacy of Christ and the need that the world has to know Him as Lord and Savior. So I just want to encourage you this morning to know who you are, to know whose you are. I'm most of you know I'm active on social media, and I have a lot of fun with that. But I realize a lot of people on social media are just not having any fun. I mean, they're just really not having fun. They're just mad at the world in their own social media and letting us all know about it, okay? And it bothers me sometimes when I see people, and I'm not talking about anybody in this room, I don't think. It bothers me sometimes when I see people, that I know call themselves Christians, but then I see the way they behave on social media and the arguments that they're willing to get involved in and the things that they're willing to say to other people that they probably don't even know or have never seen face to face. And maybe that's why they're really, really willing to say it. They're just awful things, but they're calling themselves Christians. And I'm saying to you again today that, listen, if we call ourselves Christians, everything that we say and do is going to eventually reflect on Jesus. People are going to look at that and they're going to read that and they're going to say, that's a Christian? You see? And we just need to really be careful and understand whose we are and who we represent. In all things, at all times, not just in this political season, but all the time, and then in every place. In Ephesians chapter 4, I do want to read this passage. It goes along with what Jesus had to say about being the light of the world. And we know that when Jesus talks about being light, he's talking about walking in the way of God, walking in the truth of God, walking in righteousness. All of these things are what light is going to represent, okay? And so we're to be light to the world. We're to show them the right way. We're to show them all of these things. And so Paul kind of picks up on that theme in Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 8. And he's been talking about the ways of the world and all of those kinds of things. And he says in verse 7, don't participate. Don't be partakers in those who walk in the ways of the world. For look at what he says in verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, the way of the world, the way of the flesh, the way of the devil. It's all darkness. It's all sin. It's all evil. It's all corrupt. That's darkness. He said, but you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You've come into, Jesus says in John chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. Then in Matthew 5, he says, you are the light of the world. Wait a minute, Jesus, which is it? It's both. Because when we're in union with Jesus, His light shines through us. And He is the light. And because we're in union with Him, we become the light of the world. And this is what Paul is talking about here. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. This is light. And he says, proving what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, he says in verse 13. For everything that becomes visible is light. Paul says we are to walk in the light of Jesus. We're to walk in the truth and the righteousness and the goodness and all of the things that are Jesus. And again, I want to encourage you this morning. If you make the choice, and again, this is for every arena of life, family and financially and with your business and with your neighbors and everywhere we go, we should be the light of the world. But particularly in the light of the political season that we're about to enter into, I just want to encourage you today. If you make the choice to get actively involved in politics, and listen, there's nothing wrong with that. We need to do that as the Lord leads. We're grateful to have the opportunity. Oh, help me, Jesus. We're grateful to have the opportunity to vote for politicians. Help me, Lord. I'm not going to say it. When we enter into the political arena, we should do so as light, with the intent of being influential in that arena. Here's what I'm saying to you. If you choose to get into the political arena, don't let the political arena influence you so that you compromise the kind of life that you live and the things that you say, because it is a filthy arena. It's filthy. And if we are not careful, we can get so aligned and so involved, and then so hurt, and we become so much like those of that arena so that we no longer reflect the nature of Christ and we're no longer the influence of Jesus in that arena that we're supposed to be. I'm convinced that the number one reason that Christians ought to be in politics is because there are other people in politics that don't know Jesus. And if you get involved in politics, you can form relationships with those that don't know Jesus, and in that relationship, come to a place where you have an opportunity to speak into those people's lives. I really do believe the number one reason Christians should be in politics has nothing to do with law. It has to do with lost souls and leading them to Christ. Now, I understand they'll have further responsibility. Hey, you do too. You got a job to do. You need to get up and do your job every day. And you need to do your job well. You need to do it with integrity. And you need to do it because you need income. But you ultimately need to do it to show the nature of Jesus at the place where you're employed. You see? Okay? Are you following me at all here? Okay. All right. It would be so easy for us to get involved and so involved that we take on the characteristics of the arena instead of influencing the arena with the characteristics of God. And we can find ourselves walking in darkness. Let me read this. I do want to read this one verse from Proverbs chapter 14. This is an area, and I'm just going to be very, very bold here, and I just feel like I need to say this. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation. You know, there used to be a time where Christians who got involved in politics, it used to be a time where character mattered. Doesn't anymore. Doesn't anymore. We've walked away from character, from righteousness. We've walked away from the nature of God where these things are concerned for political expediency. Got the right policy? It bothered me so much years ago to hear Christian people say, when the issue of character was brought up, to hear people say, well, we're not voting for a pastor. Duh. Why does that matter? Why is it okay that since we're not voting for a pastor, character doesn't matter anymore? I say character ought to matter all the time in every arena because righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness. It used to matter. It doesn't anymore. I get tickled from time to time to hear politicians who try to take the high moral ground. Are you kidding me? Dude, you're flat on your belly. What are you trying to take high ground from? Anyway, I think it's very easy for us to get so wrapped up in this particular arena again that we forget what our ultimate purpose is. We forget that we are here to save souls. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up and involved in politics that we're more interested in saving America than we are in saving Americans. We're more interested in winning elections than we are in winning souls to Christ. And church, it should not be that way. For us as believers, winning souls should be the priority of everything that we do. And we shouldn't compromise our character just to get the politicians that we want. Listen, it's pretty well known that the Christian community is a very, very strong voting block. Okay? I mean, politicians court evangelical Christianity to get their vote. Suppose all of us got together one time, and instead of just going with the flow and choosing whatever they throw at us, suppose one time we all got together and we said, Democrats and Republicans, unless you give us somebody worthy of our vote, we're not voting this time. And I guarantee they would test us on it. But if we stood true and didn't vote, we could just about appoint whoever we wanted to in the next election so that they would get our vote again. We've got to stop following the world. God didn't put us here to follow the world. He put us here to lead the world, to influence the world, to make a difference in God's name for the world. I haven't even got to my title yet. The title up there is Jonah or Jesus. I haven't got but 10 minutes left, so I better go ahead and tell you what that title is all about. We read the verses of Scripture from Jonah and Luke about Jesus. What we saw in those first three verses of the book of Jonah was the call of God on Jonah's life to go to the great city of Nineveh and to prophesy to the city. Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want to go because he hated the people of Nineveh. They were Gentiles. They were idolaters. They had attacked his nation numerous times before. And then this. Jonah knew if he went to Nineveh and prophesied destruction, there was a possibility that those people might repent. And Jonah knew if Nineveh repented, God would forgive them and judgment wouldn't come. Jonah did not like that. Jonah hated the people of Nineveh so much he wanted judgment to come against them. When we taught on this a few weeks ago on Wednesday nights, I asked this question. Who are the Ninevites in your life? Who are the Ninevites in my life? Who are the people of the world that we hate so much that we would like to see the judgment of God come upon them? Who are the people that we despise so much that even if we were called in that opportunity, we would not go and minister to them? Because that's what Jonah did. He would not go to minister to his enemies. That's why we read about Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, who not only told us to love our enemies, but went out and showed love for his enemies. For when those who hated and despised him were beating him, slapping him, mocking him, crucifying him, Jesus, my translation says, was saying, and that's the proper translation. Many translations say, Jesus said. And it looks like he said it one time. And that's not true at all. Jesus was saying, in other words, Jesus was saying over and over and over again. When they slapped him, he said, Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. When they beat him with whips, Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. When they forced him to carry that cross to Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. When they drove nails into his hands, Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them for they don't understand what's going on. Jesus showed love for his enemies by praying for them and bringing them to the Father. Hence the question this morning, which one are you more like? Are you like Jonah, who despised and hated and ran so they wouldn't have to minister to his enemies? Or are you like Jesus? Do you love your enemies enough to minister to them and to pray for them. Back to the political arena, and I've only got a minute or two left. The Bible tells us that we are to pray for all who are in authority over us. The Scripture doesn't say, pray for those that you voted for. It says, pray for those who are in authority. To me, that says, you pray for them whether you voted for them or not. Your responsibility is to pray for them. But I tell you again, it's just so easy for us to get bound up into this whole political thing that we become as mean and hateful as anybody else in that arena. If we're not careful, we just get sucked right into that. I shared back in 2016, in the presidential election there between Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Trump, I made a decision back in those days. Now, to me, political humor is great. I love political humor. But I knew that, you know, if you're not careful, you're going to upset somebody with your political humor. So when I went to Facebook to post messages and political humor about the upcoming election, I always made sure to post, when I had one about a Democrat, I had one about a Republican, to go side by side so that people wouldn't think that I'm being, you know, prejudiced one way or the other. It's just funny. To me, political humor is funny. I have to, can I take a minute just tell you about a couple of them that I posted? Would that be all right? Most of you are familiar, you're probably all familiar with the, in public bathrooms, the machine that dries your hand. You know, you push the button, warm air comes out, and it dries your hand. Somebody had taken a little placard, and over this machine that blows out hot air, they had put on this placard over this machine, for a message from Hillary Clinton, push the button. So you push the button and all this hot air comes out, see? So I thought that was funny, okay? That's funny to me. So I thought, well, I got to put something about Donald Trump too, since I'm doing it about it. So in a few days, a picture comes out, and the picture says, how to truly make America great again. It's a picture of Donald Trump, and he's got a piece of duct tape over his mouth. I just thought that was funny. It's funny, okay? So I posted both of these pictures, and people got so mad at me. This is just humor. And people got so mad at me and called me so many names because I posted these pictures on Facebook. I haven't posted any more pictures since the 2016 election. I got tired of being called names. But I'm just saying, and listen, a lot of these people were people that I know to be people who profess to be, I have no reason to doubt that they don't believe in Jesus with all their heart, really. And yet somehow when they get into the political thing, nothing can be funny anymore, and everything has to be dead serious, and if you see something you don't like, you got to be mean and hateful about it. Guys, let's don't do that. I got to make one more point. Here's why. Here's why we can't risk the chance of offending people. The only time you and I have the right to offend anybody is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we tell them about the truth of Jesus Christ and that makes them mad, so be it. I can't help that. But I can't move away from the truth of the gospel. This is where I stand, okay? This is where we stand. We're gonna preach. If that offends, I'm sorry. But look. If we align ourselves and knowingly, willingly offend people for any other reason, politics included, anytime you offend people, you lose your right to speak into their lives. Once you have offended them, they will no longer listen to anything you've got to say. Now, friends, I know this from personal experience, and I'm not talking about politics. But I'm talking about offending people with something that you do. And even if you can become friends later, you still don't have the freedom and the opportunity, the way to speak into their lives that you maybe once had before. Okay? That's why we need to be careful. We don't need to be deliberately offensive about things. We need to be careful so that we always... This is what made Billy Graham a master when it came to politics. He didn't choose sides in a public way. You don't really know what Billy was thinking or how he was voting, because he didn't go on and say, we've got to fight this side, we've got to fight that side, we've got to... And it's why he had the ear of presidents on both sides of the aisle for all of his ministry life. Because he didn't offend them first. Because once you offend people, it's hard to speak into their lives after that. And God bless them, there's some of our spiritual leaders in America today who haven't figured that out. And they have lost the opportunity. Listen. America is so completely divided today. And we're extreme, right and left. Middle is gone. It just doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. And we're so extreme on the right and the left. And we got to stand with our political allies on the right and on the left. Well, listen, whichever one you stand with politically, you have lost the privilege of speaking into the heart of the other side spiritually, probably ever again. In other words, you have lost half of America and your witness toward them if you have deliberately offended them because you felt it necessary to take a political position. And listen, politics, guys, it's this worldly. It's temporary. It's temporary. Where spiritual things in Christ, that's eternal. And we're giving up the opportunity to speak about eternal things to people just so we can take a temporary stand? Gosh, what are we thinking? What are we thinking? I'm over 2 minutes. Can I get two more? Listen. And sometimes we do have Ninevites in our life. People that we look at them and we say, I don't know how they could vote that way. They can't possibly be Christian and vote that way. I guarantee you, you didn't think that statement through before you made it. Because I have precious, precious brothers and sisters that I know love Jesus probably more than I do that don't vote like I do. I can't say, just because you didn't vote like I did, you can't be a Christian. One last point. If we have people out there that we think, oh, they're just demonized and they're just wicked and they're just evil and they're just sinners and they're just all going to hell and I just don't want to have anything to do with them. Let's say for a minute you're correct and they are demonized and they are wicked and they are sinners and they are on their way to hell. Doesn't that make them our mission field? Aren't we supposed to be reaching out to people like that so that they can come to know Jesus Christ? And how can we reach out to them if we have first offended them? I hope you can see something in this message. There's something more important that you and I have been called to do than the whole political arena or any other arena. And I don't care how many political issues there are or political candidates they are, you can put them all together and none of them are more important to me than my witness for Jesus Christ. And that's why we don't make a political statement through our church. I don't want to lose my witness to half of the world, half of the nation. I always want to have the opportunity to witness and not be rejected because I've offended somebody over something that is temporal and doesn't really matter. I want to be like Jesus. I want to love my enemies. I want to minister to my enemies. I want the door to always be open to my enemies so that I can tell them about my Savior. Stand with me. Father, I pray the spirit and intent of the things that I've said here today have been received. And I pray that if there's anything that I have said that was out of line or incorrect, was in error, I pray, Father, that it fell on deaf ears. And I pray only what is your truth has been received here today. I pray these precious people know the spirit in which this message was intended today and its purpose, that we would be all about bringing glory and honor to your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for these precious people that have come to our fellowship today, Lord. I pray your blessing over each one of them, God, that every person, every household, every family would know the blessing of your presence, and in your presence would know the blessing of peace and joy, wisdom and strength, would have the knowledge of your will, and most importantly, the knowledge of your Son. Pray, Lord, that we've all heard something here today that we can take with us from this place that will change our lives. And help us to be God-honoring in every arena of our lives, even the political arena. Help us to have the influence that you want us to have, even in that arena, that your name would be glorified. I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Well, I do thank you for